You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Hi, everyone. Do you ever feel like that there is more than what you're seeing or experiencing today? Jesus said, "I came that you may have life and have it to the full or more abundantly." I believe that as we choose to put Jesus at the center of our life and allow him to lead us, we can experience that today. If this is your first time joining us at ICS Church, my name is Chad. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's always a joy for us to have you be with us today. If you haven't done so yet, I'd love for you just to maybe write down in the chat box where you're watching from, if it's your first time to join us on this stream. The title of the message today is Living Beyond What You See. Live Beyond What You See. Jesus, whenever he came, whenever he was here on earth, he would encounter individuals. And some encounters, many encounters, would allow them to have an encounter that would change the trajectory or the direction of their life for good. Of course, not everybody experienced that. But we're going to look at someone today that did experience exactly that. So we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark. This is one of the gospel writers that you will find in the New Testament. And specifically, we're going to chapter 10 in the Gospel of Mark. Here it says in verse 46, "Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed them. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, or son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road." So this is one of the guys that encounters this. We don't exactly know how long Bartimaeus has been blind. It could have been since he was born, since birth, or it may have been something that eventually happened to him. But at this point, he is blind. That is all we know about him. And he hears that Jesus is passing by. Now, at this point in the gospel story, this is about the last recorded miracle, according to Mark, that Jesus performs before he enters into Jerusalem for his final days here on earth. Throughout the gospel of Mark, to this point in time, Jesus has pretty much been kind of veiling the truth of his reality as the Son of God. Whenever signs, wonders, and miracles were performed in his ministry, he would usually ask the people, you know, not to announce it, not to tell others. But at this point, he was nearing. Ultimately, his last few days, his death and ultimate resurrection. And so this was pretty significant, an encounter with him. So Bartimaeus, hearing all the things that has happened in the life of Jesus Christ, is thinking to himself, maybe this could be possible for me. Have you ever thought that there are things that are greater, that there may be things that you are supposed to experience beyond what you see and what you're experiencing right now? I know for me, you know, 7 months under quarantine and not being able to pretty much go where I want to go or do the things that I want to do outside with friends, with loved ones, can be a little frustrating. But at some point in the 7 months, you know, the normalcy starts to creep in and you begin to accept kind of the reality of the situation as is, and you learn to somehow start to live with it. But I want to, you know, I continue to refuse to believe that this is how it will be for the rest of my life. That, you know, we will be confined to our homes and we would not be able to gather, especially, you know, as a church or with our loved ones. You know, I love meeting with friends. That's something that I look forward to. You know, even as an introvert, I still have a desire to be with other people. And so there's something in me that continues to cry out for more. And this guy, Bartimaeus, is blind. And I'm sure, you know, he's hearing about people who could see. He's hearing about the things that people are doing who have sight. And he knows that, hey, there's more than what I'm experiencing. And finally, the guy that he's been hearing about, miracle worker, teacher, is passing by. And he begins to think, maybe, just maybe, this could happen to me. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, if you go down a few chapters earlier, in chapter 8, there is a recorded healing of a blind man. It may have been possible that Bartimaeus had heard about this. It could be possible. Whenever Mark would write, he would always bookend his stories and his narratives in such a way. So this was like the end of that other part of the story. For us to begin to see beyond and experience beyond, we need to believe that there could be more. And believing that requires faith. Believing there could be more beyond what we see requires faith. It requires belief that there is beyond, right? But for us to actually experience that, to experience what we see in faith, requires action. So it can't just be, I believe, and that's all there is to it, right? I believe that man can reach the moon. But unless we actually go through the training and become an astronaut, eventually get into a rocket ship and fly up there, right? And take that giant leap for mankind and step on the moon, it's kind of like, yes, I believe it, but the experience is still lacking and is missing. So if we could encapsulate this two thoughts together into one statement, here's what I'd love for us to really think about today. To experience life in Jesus beyond what we see requires faith and action. It is both and. It's not just one. I just believe that it's going to happen, but then we don't do anything about it, or just one of these things. It has to be both and for us to actually experience what God wants. So that's what we want to look at right now in this encounter that Jesus has with Bartimaeus, or the son of Timaeus. So let's continue reading. Verse 47 says, when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, Jesus was, at this point, had become very popular and known. So a lot of people were wanting to be near Jesus. A lot of people were wanting to hear Jesus, possibly even touch Jesus. And so the response was kind of expected. Verse 48 says, be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. You could almost sense the desperation in Bartimaeus' voice when he found out that Jesus was passing by. Now, I don't know about you. If I would be pretty much in that situation and in desperation, I'd probably do the same. I wouldn't care about what other people thought. If I knew that someone who had the power and the ability to change my status in life, especially to somehow give me sight, I would probably want to catch his attention, right? All he could hear was he was passing by. Maybe he heard the voice of Jesus. Maybe he didn't even know the voice of Jesus, but he heard it as people were whispering to one another, and he began to shout to catch Jesus' attention. So we said earlier that it requires faith. If we're going to see and experience the life that really God and Jesus intends for us to live, it requires faith. It requires belief that Jesus is going to do what he said he is going to do, and that he is who he says that he is. And so here, Bartimaeus, or Bart, let's just shorten it. So Bart here begins to express that through faith. He believed it, and now he was putting action to it by calling out. So what kind of faith can we find here in the life of Bartimaeus? If we are going to experience what he experienced as well, which I'm going to cut to the very end, right? If you want to go to the shortcut version of the story, Bartimaeus did receive his sight. But for that to happen, what did he do? We find here that he had determined faith. It was very clear that Bartimaeus was determined. It says there, even though he was calling out to Jesus, people were trying to drown him out by telling him to be quiet. It says there that he shouted louder. That's determination. That's determination. You know, you're not letting other voices drown out what you believe is possible, what you believe could be possible through Jesus Christ. Determined faith is what we find in Bartimaeus right here. He cries out, he calls out to try to get Jesus' attention. What else? It says here, he shouted louder, and what did he shout? He shouted, "Son of David." Now, this kind of faith is not just a determined faith that we find in Bartimaeus. It's a faith that knows Jesus. All throughout the gospel, this is the only time that Jesus is addressed as Son of David. Son of David. And this identifies to us that Bartimaeus knows Jesus. Now, what is the significance of the Son of David? Well, for the Jews that were around at that point, this was a title given to the Messiah or to the Son of God. And so when he said, "Hey, Son of David," and Mark distinctly records it down, for the first century readers, they knew exactly what Mark was talking about. Now remember, at this point, Jesus had not yet been crucified and resurrected, proving that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. But after this was written, when the gospel was written, that had already taken place. And so the readers in the first century that were reading about this connected the Son of David with Jesus Christ. And they were probably nodding their heads as they were reading the story or hearing the story and saying, "Yeah, Jesus is the Son of David. He is the Messiah." Now, Bartimaeus, at this point, didn't know that. But in faith, prophetically, he was declaring Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Son of David. He was declaring that, "Hey, my faith knows that Jesus really is the Son of God." If we are going to experience a life beyond what we see today, the full life that Jesus promised, we need to be believing that Jesus really is who he says he is, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior, not just of the world, but of me personally. Bartimaeus was declaring, "Jesus, you are my Savior. You are the Messiah that we have been waiting for, that I have been waiting for." This is a declaration of faith in the knowledge that Jesus really is the Messiah. Continues on, he says, "Have mercy on me." Bartimaeus' faith was expressed in humility. This was humble faith. You see, sometimes if you've been a Christian for a while, we begin to think that we are entitled to certain things that Jesus has done in the past, that we read about in scriptures, and we feel like, you know what, God, you owe me, right? I'm your son, I'm your daughter, you owe me. Sometimes we have that sense of entitlement, thinking that, yeah, just because I'm a child of the King, then he should and do this for me. But even though here Bartimaeus has already expressed that, yes, I believe that you are the Messiah, Jesus, that you are the Savior, there is humility in the following statement. He says, "Have mercy on me." It's about you drawing near to me. It's about you responding to my request that I don't deserve. Spare me from what I don't deserve, for what I do deserve, rather. That's what mercy is. It's sparing us from what we deserve. For Bartimaeus, it was his blindness. And so he was saying, "Would you spare me?" Although he hadn't yet expressed it, his soul was crying out, "Would you spare me? Would you have mercy on me from what is happening in my life today?" This is an expression of humility. And if we are going to be in that place, if we're going to look at Bartimaeus and say, "Hey, you know, this is the kind of faith that Jesus responds to. It's a faith that is humble, that recognizes that Jesus is the Savior, that I'm not God, that he is God, that he needs to be ultimately the one to determine the outcome." and yet I will express faith and trust in him. That's what we find in Bartimaeus as he is expressing it in this statement. Now, obviously, this catches Jesus' attention. It catches Jesus' attention. The determination, the recognition, and the declaration that he is Son of David, the Messiah, the prophesied Savior of the Jews, and of course, ultimately, you would find out the entire world, and in humility expressing faith and confidence in him, Jesus stops in his tracks. And in the following verse, here's what Mark says. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." They're encouraging him. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. And here's the awesome thing. For those of us who know and believe that Jesus Christ truly is our Savior, Lord and Master, and the Messiah, the Savior of the world, to have him ask this question to us is something that I'm sure all of us long for. Bartimaeus hears this with his own ears. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. Wow. Wow. See, Bartimaeus didn't come up with his list of things to do for Jesus. No, that's not his position. His position was, "Lord, you are Messiah. You are Savior. I ask that you have mercy on me." He didn't even know that Jesus was going to respond to him. But when Jesus did respond, Jesus' question was, "What do you want me to do for you?" And again, Bartimaeus, in faith, expresses, "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." This kind of faith that Bartimaeus expressed when he said, "My rabbi, my teacher, I want to see." It was a faith that was submitted to Jesus as Lord, and it was faith that was specific to the request that he was making. Are we submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? How are we relating to him today? It's the beginning to recognize him as Savior of the world and to come in humility, but to actually say, "You are Lord. You're the one that needs to be followed. Not me, not my desires, not my purposes, but you. You are still first. You are at the center." But when Jesus asks us, "What do you want me to do for you?" which I believe he continues to bring up to us today, we need to also be specific, right? When we pray, when we lift up our requests, when we come to the Lord, we need to express what our needs are. Why? Is it because Jesus doesn't know what we need? Of course he does, right? He is all-knowing. In this situation, of course Jesus knew, but probably Bartimaeus knew. That was very obvious. And he was also the Son of God. He was all-knowing. But I believe he was asking so that Bartimaeus could express in faith, and at the same time, the people around who was witnessing this could encounter this truth as well. That it wasn't about their rights. See, many in that Jewish community at this point were expecting a political Messiah to come and save them from the oppressive Roman Empire that they were under. They felt that they were entitled to actually assume that role as rulers, political rulers, when this political Messiah and Savior would come. And yet here was Bartimaeus saying, "Lord, you're the one that I want to submit to. I'm under your mercy. But since you're asking, let me be specific in my request. I want to see." How much more specific can you get? You know, sometimes we don't know if God has answered our prayers because we haven't asked. specifically. We haven't lifted up specifically what our needs are. And so sometimes it's hard for us to share stories or to look at the things and the situations in our lives where God has obviously met and answered our prayers because we weren't specific enough. So that's kind of a tip right there. That's a guidance right there that we see in this situation. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see and he followed Jesus down the road. Instantly, not slowly, not one at a time, right? But instantly. Now, how Jesus responds is different in every and all situations. It's not always the same. There was a time when somebody who was blind came up to him, and what did Jesus do? He used earth, mud, spit, put it on the blind man's eyes, and told him to wash it. This time around, it was different. He just responded and said, "Hey, go. Your faith has healed you." So there is no one formula, but one thing is sure and certain. If we would look at this encounter together with other encounters, it is an expression of faith and belief in who Jesus is. Who is he? Do we really believe that he is the Savior of the world? Do we really believe that he is the Son of God? Because if he is, all things are possible in his name, under his name. When we come to him, we need to come to him with confident faith, not because of arrogance, but because of who he is, not because of who we are. We're confident in what he can do because of who he is. That is what Bartimaeus did. He approached Jesus and he responded to Jesus because of the confidence he had in Jesus, not because of who he was. That was very clear. He said, "Have mercy on me." He knew that he wasn't worth the attention. He knew he wasn't worth the time. But in humility, apparently, this is what allows God, allows Jesus to respond to. This draws Jesus to those who are humble and contrite in their spirit. And when this kind of faith is expressed, Jesus responds. Sometimes immediately, sometimes it takes a while, but he responds in faith. To experience life in Jesus beyond what we see requires faith in action. We can't just be people, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, who believe certain things and who spout out truths and verses and scriptures, and yet we do not live it out. There is no evidence of these truths in our life. No, these needs to be applied daily. Bartimaeus, when the opportunity came, and an encounter of Jesus was now possible and within reach, did not hesitate to act upon what he believed. But there will be times when, you know, you feel like, "I don't know, man. I'm more concerned about the voices of the people around me telling me that, you know, it's not worth the time. It's not going to happen. Your dreams, your desires, what you think that God can and will do through you, your family, your business, your relationships, your ministry." And you start to believe those voices. But Bartimaeus didn't. He was determined, "Lord God, this can't be it. And Jesus, because you're passing by, you're here, you are present, I know that all things are possible." You see, there was a certain belief that existed in culture and society during that time where it said, you know, if somebody is born blind, it's because of a curse that happened in their family, in their life. And if you end up experiencing these things, it's the same thing. But you know what? That is not a Christian value or a Christian belief. That's not what we find in scriptures. God's grace pursues us, no matter what. And so here, as Bartimaeus calls out and cries out to the Lord, it puts action behind his belief? What do you know that God has already set for you? What promises has been declared by Jesus and by God through his word over your life, over your family? Do we believe that he really is the great healer? Do we believe that he is our provider? Do we believe that he really is the Prince of Peace as declared in his word? Do we believe that he can do all things, that we can do all things despite our lack right now because of the grace of God that is poured out to us? If we believe, we need to rise up. Yes, be determined in faith, in prayer, but at the same time, move towards that direction. One of the interesting things here, you know, we find is very dramatic. It says there that when Bartimaeus got up, he threw away the cloak or the coat that was with him. Now, you know, we don't want to speak too much into that, but I believe the reason why Mark included it in this account, in this story, is because a lot of times, you know, when people saw that coat, that was something that identified Bartimaeus. Everybody else that would pass by and see him identified him as that blind man. Yeah, you see that blind man, the guy with the coat? Him. And that became his identity. And for some of us, you know, things in our past have been part of our identity, and we have actually started to believe it. But like Bartimaeus, if we truly have heard what Jesus has declared over us, that we are loved even before we had ever done anything good, that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, if we really believe what the Word says about us, we need to take the action like Bartimaeus. And we may not have a physical coat right now, but you may have these thoughts and these words and these memories that have been spoken over you that you are still holding onto, that has become the coat that is wrapping your life, that is determining and identifying who you are. In faith, we need to get up and in the name of Jesus, begin to declare who we are in Christ. That yes, we are the beloved. That yes, I am a son and a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That yes, I am worthy of his love. That he is my provider. That I am the apple of his eye. That I am more than a conqueror. That I am redeemed. Declaring our identity in Christ. When we begin to do that and actually walk on that path, I believe it is there that we begin to experience beyond what we see and experience the reality of God in our life and in our situations. This is who we are. Bartimaeus' faith that was determined, that knew Jesus, that was expressed in humility, that was submitted to Christ and was specific in coming to him, allowed him to experience a life beyond that he was familiar with and what he was used to. Right at that very moment, his sight was restored. He could see. And you know the beautiful thing about this is he didn't go off and do his own thing. It says there in the story that he went and followed Jesus. Whenever we experience the reality of God, when his supernatural power and presence breaks through our natural life, let's remember that we need to keep following him. It doesn't end there, because there is more. That's what Jesus said. I came that you may have life, and it's a full life. It's an abundant life. So let's stay on the course. Yes, there are difficult things that we are going through right now. It may be in your relationship, in your own life, in your work, with your studies, you know, the struggle that you're going through that. But believe that God, Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond what we could ask or even think. We just need to have the faith to do so. Would you pray with me right now? And in faith, let's come together, trusting God. Heavenly Father, today, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord, that you allow us to learn to go beyond what we see. If there are things that need to shift in our thinking, help us, Lord, to know what those are and make the change. If there are things, Lord God, that we need to do, it's an action that is lacking. It's obeying your last command to us. Whether it's a moral truth, or correcting a relationship, confessing a sin, help us, Lord, to move into action so that we can continually experience the life that you desire for us to live. We know, Lord God, that there is more that you're wanting us to experience. And so we submit to you today. Forgive us of our unbelief. Forgive us of any and every sin. And help us, Lord, to continue to walk with joy and freedom as we follow Jesus every day. You may be listening to this and you don't know Jesus as Savior. And you're not following him as Lord of your life. It can begin today. Paul writes, if we confess our sins and declare that he is Lord, that life will begin. That life will begin. And so pray with me right now and make this as if it's your own prayer. And that will start right today. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my wrong decisions, my wrongdoings. Forgive me of every sin that has kept me from the love of the Heavenly Father and from experiencing the life that you have given to me. Beginning today, I invite you to come and be my Savior. Lead me as Lord of my life. Fill me with your Spirit that I may never be the same ever again to become more like you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, if you pray that prayer today, whether it's the first time or a rededication, would you let us know? We would love just to be able to encourage you and to help you grow in your walk with the Lord.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.